From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Abb.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Friday, June 26th. Today on the podcast, college students are back in town, and there's concern they could have brought COVID-19 with them.
It's not just UVM, it's us too. It's the whole community. Like, the more that we can get people in for this testing, the better.
First, today's headlines.
All right, we talked about the record-breaking heat earlier this week, and guess what? It's also really dry. Four counties are officially in a moderate drought, according to the United States Drought Monitor. Windham, Bennington, Rutland, and Windsor counties are under low-level drought conditions, and most of the rest of Vermont, except for the Northeast Kingdom, is considered abnormally dry. So this means that lake and reservoir levels are low, and people should take steps to conserve water. And this advice from our executive producer, Mark Davis: feel free to let your grass die because it's too hot to mow anyways.
The Department of Health has identified 7 new cases of COVID-19 in Vermont. They're pretty spread out across the state with no more than 1 new case in any county. 3 people are currently hospitalized with the disease, 938 people have recovered, and 56 people have died. About 2% of Vermont's 60,000 tests have come back positive.
State legislators are giving themselves a pay raise. Right now, lawmakers get paid about $700 a week when they're in session. The House and Senate have passed a bill that will tie raises to increases for other elected officials, like the governor or the attorney general. Supporters say that the relatively low pay prevents a lot of people from running for office. Opponents countered that this, you know, is not exactly great timing, given the record levels of unemployment in Vermont right now.
And normally, hundreds of college students return to Burlington to start off-campus leases at the beginning of June. This year, that's raised concerns that the influx of out-of-state students could bring COVID-19 into Vermont with them. About 3 weeks into June, only 2 returning University of Vermont students have tested positive for the virus. But as Liam Elder Connors reports, it's unclear exactly how many students return to the city and if they're following public health requirements.
All right, so I'm at North Beach here in Burlington. There's a lot of people out. It's pretty hot, pretty sunny today.
The beach is right off the bike path and a quick ride from the city's downtown, making it a popular spot. On this Friday afternoon, there's some families playing in the water, but there's also a lot of college students lounging in tightly packed groups on the sand with no masks in sight.
And I see 4 different groups with tables in the lake, and they're all playing beer pong.
I'm a reporter. I work at...
I try to talk to one group of UVM students playing beer pong.
You want to chat a little bit?
Not really.
They don't want to chat. But over in the parking lot, recent UVM graduate Connor Cronin does. Cronin, who's now working on his master's degree at UVM, says he doesn't think students are taking public health guidelines seriously.
I mean, I live on a party street, I guess, and it seems like everybody's just partying. And of course, you see like the big frat groups. There's no seriousness over there with all the frats and stuff.
UVM, which has almost 8,000 out-of-state students, announced in late April that it would hold in-person classes in the fall. The university, like many colleges, faces severe budget shortfalls due to the pandemic, and tuition, particularly from out-of-state students, accounts for 40% of UVM's revenue. President Suresh Garamella assured the community in late April the university would develop plans to keep students and the community safe.
We will continue to prepare for an in-person campus in a way that is responsible and informed by the best science and by our public health experts.
But Burlington didn't have to wait until the fall to get a preview of what the return of students might feel like. And the early returns are worrying some people, including UVM students. As usually happens in June, hundreds of students moved into off-campus apartments in Burlington, many coming directly from home states with much higher amounts of COVID-19 than Vermont. Students were told to follow strict guidelines, including quarantining for 2 weeks. But no one can say whether that happened.
There's no way that they really, force it upon us.
UVM seniors Carly Soler and Abby Selig were headed down to North Beach. Selig hasn't left Vermont since the pandemic started, but Soler went home to New Jersey. She says she quarantined when she came back.
But again, there's no way that they can really tell if we actually did quarantine or not.
UVM officials set up pop-up sites where they could test between 1,500 and 2,000 students returning this month. But about 3 weeks into June, only 371 people have been tested.
I think, of course, we'd want more, but, you know, our estimations could be off.
UVM Vice Provost for Student Affairs Annie Stevens says students might be waiting longer before moving back to Burlington, so she's not concerned about seemingly low testing numbers.
I look at it as every test counts, and every student who is helping us understand where the pandemic or the virus may be and may not be is helpful information.
A pilot supportive quarantine program run by the city of Burlington to prevent the spread of disease also had lower than expected participation. Students could sign up and a city staffer would check in with them every day of their 2-week quarantine. People would also get a welcome kit that includes things like hand sanitizer and a library card. Only 190 people signed up, according to Zach Williamson, the city staffer in charge of the program. He says initially the city was expecting more, but he says the city heard from landlords that rentals weren't filling up.
People understandably were thinking this would be a normal June turnover in terms of student housing. But of course, it's not a normal June. And so as far as we can tell, not nearly as many people from out of state moved to Burlington in this time frame.
While UVM, Middlebury, and other Vermont colleges have decided to hold in-person classes this fall, other colleges around the country are acting more cautiously. Some colleges around the country are not holding in-person classes this fall. UMass Boston and the California State School System will be completely remote. Dartmouth College is finalizing plans, but is mulling a mix of in-person and remote learning. While Vermont still has relatively low rates of new infections, officials this week said there's increasing spread among young adults in their 20s and 30s. Data from the Burlington Police Department indicate there may be more community concern about students' behavior since their return. From June 1st to 18th, the department received 75 noise complaints and issued 6 tickets, including 4 for party noise. In the same time frame last year, police only got 52 complaints and issued no tickets. Stevens, the UVM vice provost, says students will be expected to sign a pledge saying they'll follow public health guidelines when they return in the fall.
If we know of certain students or get reports of certain students that just continuously kind of and blatantly disrespect or the ordinances, we'll certainly have even clearer expectations for those students and possible sanctions.
In the fall, when up to 10,000 students could resume classes, UVM says it'll have widespread testing available and will require students to wear facial coverings on campus. But Burlington City Councilor Jack Hansen says he thinks the university should be more proactive and test all returning students.
It seemed to be a pretty low number of students that received the testing. And so, you know, it's not just UVM, it's us too. It's the whole community. Like, the more that we can get people in for this testing, the better.
Cronin, the recent UVM grad, says he adheres to public health guidelines, and he hopes his peers will start doing the same.
Now's the time to really, really buckle down and, you know, the mask and proper sanitation and social distancing.
Cronin says the university can only do so much. It's up to students to take the pandemic seriously. For VPR News, I'm Liam Elder-Connors.
What's it like to navigate the COVID-19 pandemic in Vermont within a community that's relatively new to the U.S., where English might not be spoken widely? Our digital producer Abigail Giles began reaching out to Chittenden County residents about COVID-19, translation, and grassroots solutions back in April. And this week, she's published 4 stories at VPR.org, each about an activist, leader, or community member. Most of them are volunteers who spent long hours during the heart of the lockdown working to support the people around them through translation, cultural interpretation, or finding ways to help people build a feeling of connectedness. I spoke with Abigail about her series. So let's start with one of the stories in your series. Can you share a bit more about Tool Narula?
Yeah, so Tool is a homeschool liaison for the Winooski School District. He translates and interprets information for the school district to parents of about 145 students in Winooski's Bhutanese Nepali community, and that's a reciprocal relationship that goes both ways, so he helps the school district as well. And he's one of 6 people in that role among various language communities. During the pandemic, he found he was kind of taking on a lot of extra work beyond that role. He was helping people register for unemployment insurance for the first time, activate EBT cards, kind of generally serving as sort of a cultural broker. A lot of Bhutanese Nepali refugees who come to Vermont have had to flee kind of oppressive relationships with government. And this was a hard time to be interacting with institutions, especially if you saw people that didn't come from your culture or community. So he was helping to kind of bridge those gaps as a whole.
And trying to sort of find some trust between the government that's trying to get out health information in this time and communities that might have a distrust of authority in that way.
Yeah, absolutely, and kind of build mutual understanding there.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the overarching themes that you heard from people like Tool and others during this time of the pandemic?
Generally, there are a lot of really great resources available for people around translation in Vermont, but not on a day-to-day level so much. There were a lot of organizations that rallied really quickly to build a response, government agencies too. But during this period of isolation, there's a lot that could be lost. And if you think about how fast the news cycle is moving, if English is your native language, it was hard to keep up with. So, you know, just imagine trying to follow that if, say, you speak another language, or if you're looking for information online, but say you speak an oral language, there were some challenges there. These people were kind of folks in the community who were leaders, who were really plugged in, who kind of didn't skip a beat, immediately started thinking about other people and anticipated challenges, found solutions sort of before they even arose in some cases.
You also spoke to a high school student, Hussein Amouri, who, like all other students in Vermont, had to switch to remote learning in the spring. What was his experience like and his classmates' experience like with that?
Yeah, so Hussein, his family came to Vermont in 2015 from Tanzania. His mom is from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and his story is not unique. His mother is trilingual and spent 19 years seeking asylum in the U.S., navigated that incredibly difficult process for her family. But leading remote learning during this time was really difficult without English or without tremendous comfort with a computer. So Hussein said that he, like some of his classmates who were in kind of newcomer families, found himself doing a lot of that kind of work for his siblings and for his mom, translating day-to-day information and really feeling this sort of burden of needing to keep his family safe and up to date in terms of the day-to-day.
Obviously, this is a really challenging time, and the last few months have been challenging for so many people. I'm curious what you found to be hopeful in some of these stories.
Well, there's a story in there. Riziki Kasim, she grew up in Vermont, and her family came here as Somali Bantu refugees in 2006. She went to college in the U.S. and works as a pharmacy technician. She's a frontline worker and also a parent during this period. And she rallied through her kind of network of women within her community and friends to raise nearly $7,000 with small individual donations within the Somali Bantu community nationally and internationally to feed over 300 people weathering COVID-19 in refugee camps in Kakuma, Kenya, during Ramadan. So that was during a really difficult financial time for many people in Vermont. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. In May, she actually said to me, you know, they're praying for us in the United States, which was a really interesting sort of different perspective. But she felt like that project rallied connection and hope and a sense of, you know, moving into the future for the people involved.
That's VPR digital producer Abigail Giles, and you can find her series of profiles at our website, vpr.org. Abigail, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Henry.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. We had reporting today from Liam Elder Connors, John Dillon, and Abigail Giles.
And thanks to everyone who joined us for our virtual coffee hour on Thursday. And if you missed it, it still lives at the VPR YouTube page. So I guess that is now on the internet forever. And as always, if you have feedback for the show, positive or negative, we'd love to hear it. You can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org.
And you can also find us on Twitter at @thefrequencyvpr. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you on Monday.